Some people think that the celebration of Easter Sunday, of the resurrection of the Lord, is the culmination of the Lord's work on behalf of humanity. Indeed, he broke the bonds of sin and death over humanity through his death on the cross and resurrection from the dead. But it was not the culmination of his ministry of salvation on behalf of humanity. When the first human beings were called to live in love and life with our God, they did not trust in all of the directions of the Lord, and so broke fellowship with the Lord. They sinned. They were disobedient to the Lord. And because they had broken fellowship with the one who is the very source of life, death also came into the world. But God refused to abandon us to sin and death. In his love, he continues to make a decision to be there for us, to work things out for our good. He has more of a desire for us to share life and love with him forever than we do. And so to demonstrate his great love for us, the eternal Son of God, who existed before time began, was born within time. He was conceived in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary solely by the power of the Holy Spirit. He took on flesh. He came to share in our humanity in all things but sin. And through his teaching and example, he teaches us how to live authentic human lives. He teaches us that to love God is to be obedient to the will of God, even if it comes into conflict with a world that God created to be good, but is wounded by the original sin of disobedience. The cross was an instrument used by the world to attempt to silence Jesus, but Jesus was not to be silenced. He suffers death because of his obedience to the Father, and that conquers the consequences of our disobedience to the Father. So that not only did he take on the sins of the world on the cross in order to take them away, but by his death, he destroyed death with his death. He transformed it from a termination of life to a transition to the fullness of life with God forever. For God is eternal and intends for that relationship to be eternal. The Son rises from the dead in his body and soul. And then 40 days thereafter, he is taken up into heaven, body and soul, to be at the right hand of God the Father, a phrase that we use to denote that he's one in being with God the Father. He's the second person of the Trinity. And it also denotes that he stands before the Father always interceding for us. So God the Son is praying to God the Father for us. And that is in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God the Father and the Spirit of God the Son, and the bond of life and love that they share with one another. It's an unbreakable bond. It's a bond of love and life that has broken the power of sin and death over humanity. But even when Jesus ascends into heaven and shows us what our destiny is, for if we're risen with Christ, we're going to ascend with Christ. Still, his saving work for the benefit of humanity is not over. It has not reached its culmination. It continues through the ministry of his church. For he does not only want his disciples to be aware of this great benefit for humanity, healing from the wounds of sin, division, and death, a framework for living fruitfully as beloved children of God now, and freedom from the finality of death. Not only does he want his disciples to rejoice in that, he wants other people to join the ranks of his disciples and to take joy in that. And so he appoints his disciples to be his representatives in the world. While he is going on to heaven, he's not abandoning the earth. He is still the head of the church. And he's going to act through the members of the church to continue to reach out to people, to reconcile people back to God, and also to promote reconciliation within the human family. That is, to live in right relationships, to do what is right and what is just. And again, the Lord is working through people who have freedom of choice. And some people do not want to use that freedom wisely. But we're called to do so and invite others to do the same. As I preach this penultimate part of my homily series during the Easter season, the title of that homily series is Proclaim, Declare the Works of the Lord. And as representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to declare the works of the Lord for the benefit of every part of the human race. The gospel, who is Jesus Christ himself, and what he has done and is doing in the life of human beings who place their faith, hope, and love in him. And I want to talk about today the courage to fulfill our commission from Christ. In the Gospel of Matthew, we have what Christians have called the Great Commission from the Lord. It happened soon after Easter, when Mary Magdalene and another Mary came to the tomb. They saw that the tomb was empty. They also see the risen Lord, body and soul. And the Lord told them to communicate to the apostles, known as the 11 disciples in the gospel reading today, to meet him in Galilee, where he had started his ministry before. Galilee is to the north, I would say around Lebanon and that. So today's Lebanon and northern Israel. So he starts and he says, I want to meet back in Galilee. That's where the ministry began, but I want them also to know that they can start over again. For there were 11 apostles. Judas, of course, was not there. He had betrayed the Lord, which led to his crucifixion. And he despaired that he could ever be reconciled with the Lord, and therefore judged himself to be unworthy and left the scene. We have Peter, the chief apostle, who did not leave the scene. But while Jesus was being charged before the civil and religious courts, Peter denied that he ever knew the Lord, even though he said he would not do so. And yet he did repent. And so did the others repent. For with the exception of the apostle John, when Jesus took up his cross, they ran away from him, even though they had also said with Peter that they would always be with the Lord. And yet they knew they could be reconciled with the Lord. So in a sense, when Jesus called them back to Galilee, he was calling them to a new beginning. Jesus knew about all of their strengths and all of their weaknesses, and he trusts them to be his representatives in the world. And those apostles represent all of us as a church, because we say in the creed, I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. The apostolic nature of the church certainly means the apostles appointed by the Lord, and then their successors, the bishops of the church. But it also means that all of us are apostolic in the sense that we are being sent forth, which is what the word apostle means, sent forth to be representatives of the Lord Jesus in the world. And look what happens. They follow the command of the Lord given to them by Mary Magdalene. But when the risen Lord appeared in Galilee, the gospel reading says that they worshiped, but they doubted. Some other English translations say they worshiped, but some of them doubted. And maybe the doubts were about the risen Lord, but maybe the doubt was that because they had failed at some part of their discipleship, and even though they have been forgiven by the Lord, they did not have confidence in what the Lord was about to ask them to do. And yet Jesus approached them, and Jesus said, I have all authority, and this is what I'm going to use with my authority. I'm going to delegate you to be my representative in the world. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptize them, and teach everything that I have commanded. Don't hold anything back thinking that you're not going to be able to make disciples due to my challenging teachings. Teach all that I have commanded for the benefit of humanity. Then we have another description of a commissioning in the Acts of the Apostles. And this is 40 days after Easter. And it's not just the 11 apostles, it's probably about 120 disciples, including the apostles. And after Jesus had appeared to the early church and had taught about the significance of the resurrection, it was time for his last resurrection appearance, in a sense. He was going to appear to the apostle Paul later. But his last resurrection appearance, and he is about to ascend into heaven. And he says that I want you to stay in Jerusalem and ask for the promise of the Father, the gift of the Holy Spirit. The early church was in Jerusalem because the Feast of Pentecost was about to be celebrated. And that Jewish feast was one of three main feasts in which able-bodied Jewish males were supposed to be in Jerusalem to celebrate. And of course, the families accompanied them. And so Jesus said, stay in Jerusalem and pray until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you do, you will be my witnesses, not only in the city of Jerusalem, but in the region of Judea, in which Jerusalem is in Samaria, which is north of Judea, and to the ends of the world. But you have to admire the first generation of Christians. They knew their strengths and their weaknesses. They knew when they had been faithful, and they knew that when they had failed. But they also knew they had been forgiven by the Lord and given a fresh start. And they had the courage to fulfill the commission the Lord had given to them. You don't read in the Acts of the Apostles or in the Gospel of Matthew, they're saying, what do you mean to all the world? We're a small group of people in the Middle East under Roman imperial occupation. What do you mean we're supposed to go to all the world and make disciples of all the nations? They didn't say that. They said, Jesus, we agree with you, and with your help, we will do it. They had the virtue of courage, which is also a gift of the Holy Spirit, as we read in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 11. Courage is constancy in doing the will of the Lord, consistently doing that. And as they consistently did that, they were going to do that in any circumstances, even if they had conflicts from outside of themselves or within themselves. Because some doubted, some had fears. And yet they agreed with God. And look what happened. We would not be here today if they did not demonstrate the courage that God gave them through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this generation of Christians, including the members of Holy Family Parish, need to continue to have that same courage. We can talk about all the practicalities of how to do that. We summarize the Great Commission as helping people to believe in Christ, belong to his church, and to bless our communities. They are inseparable concepts of being a disciple or a follower of the Lord. And we have tried to put together a pastoral plan of doing that in practical ways over the next several years. But people can look at that and see all those goals and objectives and think it's a daunting prospect. And some people may say, oh, it's all nice for what Father Harris has to say, but really, Father Harris, the pastor, Darren C. Woodis, the pastoral associate, Joanne Harvinchin, the director of faith formation, and Lori Winder, who is the parish secretary, they're qualified to do that. We're qualified just to come to Mass. We're qualified to do some devotions. We're qualified to bring some food for the food pantry. We're qualified to do the baby bottle campaign to promote the work of mercy of respecting life from conception to natural death. But we could do those things. But in terms of talking about Jesus and all, that's for the staff. That's for Archbishop Laurie and the assistant bishops there. That's for Pope Francis. But you don't find in the gospel reading or in the Acts of the Apostles, particularly in the Acts of the Apostles, which were not just the 11 apostles, but other men and women that comprised about 120 people, Jesus said, did not say, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the other parts of the world, except you and you and except you and not you. Jesus has confidence that every member of the church with their distinctive vocations can contribute to this commission in union with the church, not as independent contractors, but in union with the church, in union with the message of the Lord given through the apostles, through the church. So before we even talk about the practicalities of how to fulfill the Great Commission, no one's going to do it unless they know that they can do it. And we have to have the courage to do it. And so I'm asking the parish to participate in the novena to the Holy Spirit, the first novena of the church. 9 days of prayer between the Ascension and Pentecost. The Ascension again, the Holy Day is really last Thursday. And even if you didn't do it for 9 days, I'm sure the Lord's going to answer it for 7 days. But the traditional prayer to the Holy Spirit is in the pastor's column, as well as on page 5 of the bulletin, the page numbers on the top of the bulletin. It's also on our website, holyfamilyrandallstown.org/novena. There's another prayer to the Holy Spirit there as well. I do invite you to pray that with me, that we will have the courage to participate in our commission from the Lord here in the area that the Lord has placed us in. Where we don't have to think about crossing the border, whether north or south, or going overseas, whether the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean. The mission field is wherever we walk and wherever we are. That's the mission field. But we need to have the courage to believe that the Lord has appointed us, and we have this assurance from the Lord. As long as we cooperate with him, he is with us always. Always. And then, Jesus says in the Acts of the Apostles, the Holy Spirit, which is the bond of life and love between the Father and the Son, which is unbreakable, which is victorious over sin and death, dwells within us. Another way of him saying he will be with us always. We need to have the courage to believe that we can contribute to fulfilling the commission the Lord has entrusted to the entire church. Then we can get involved in the practicalities. And so let's pray together and see how the Holy Spirit will be at work. Don't look for a feeling. If it gives you an uplifting feeling, wonderful. But the Holy Spirit is given not just so we can have an uplifting feeling. The Holy Spirit is given so that we can be representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ in the world, enabling us to live according to his teaching and example, and to be able to articulate why we do that to others and to invite them to do the same. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.